Good morning again. I want to bring a message this morning on that subject that we probably don't like to hear about. The three-letter word called sin. S-I-N. What is sin? Somebody asked a little boy what sin was. He said, it's anything you do wrong and don't get caught. Maybe adults feel that way too. In the scripture that was read this morning, you saw Jesus was led by the Spirit of God out in the wilderness to be tempted, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Three areas he was tempted at, and he responded to all of them in a way God would have him to respond. The Bible says that he knew no sin. He was the only one who came into this world, lived and died, and never sinned. All the rest of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God in some respect or the other. We were born in sin, conceived in sin, but we sin every day. Now, we may not think that, but we might see that in a moment. Basically, there are three types of sin. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, there's three areas there. We'll go on to explain them in just a moment. Three areas of your life. The devil makes you his target. And he has special imps in hell that are trained just for whatever your weakness is. And he knows where you're the weakest. And we may find all kinds of ways to excuse it, but it's still sin. First of all, notice there's the lust of the flesh. We're born into these bodies, and these bodies are sinful, and they sin, and they thrive after sin. They push after sin. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we need to read our Bibles and pray and find out from God what is the desire of the Spirit upon my life today. I want to yield control of my life to the Spirit of God. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit, so that I don't sin against God. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So there's that pull on us. When we yield to the Spirit's fighting the flesh for us. And the flesh doesn't want to yield. It does not want to give up. It knows that weakness, as I said earlier. It knows your attitudes and things, which we'll talk about later. It knows your mind, your thoughts. And it is trying to help you fight, but that flesh pulls against it. So that old flesh. The second way, and you'll notice in the temptation that Satan did to Jesus, is the lust of the eyes. There are some things we should not look at. There's some things to turn away from. Because you know when you start looking at them, they start being conceived in your mind. Next thing you know, they're pulling down into your heart. Next thing you know, you're going through with that sin. In Matthew 5:28, the word of God says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It was that first look when David got in trouble with Bathsheba. The first thing he did was he looked. And then he saw. And then he lusted. And then he sinned. And we may not have that particular sin, but there's some sin that will grip us like that. It will get us like that. It will try to destroy us. Break down our senses and our sensitivity to God. That's why we need the Spirit. Then thirdly, we see pride. Probably the one thing that is most unconfessed is pride. We try to justify it. We try to make excuses for it. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Along with that is jealousy. We don't want things a certain way, but that pride will hang on, and we'll make excuses for it. We'll say things about it. "Well, it's the way I am," or whatever. Anything to admit that that pride has brought us under and pushed us down and caused us to continue in that sin. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction." We don't know. As I said earlier, the devil knows. Just like that bird that wants to see what's in that cage and flies in there, and then he's caught. The rabbit that goes by the trap and sees something he likes, and he goes in there. That's the way we get caught, with our pride. It goeth before destruction. Once that door is shut on that rabbit or that bird, he's shut in there. He can't get out. That's where we find ourselves. But the Bible goes on to say in verse 19, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud." Pride will get you. Then there are sins you might not think about. Number 3. We see the 3 ways that Satan gets to us: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride. Sins you might not think about. Number 1, and I believe is probably more committed than commission, is the sins of omission. A failure to do something, especially something that one has a moral or legal obligation to do. We know we're supposed to do it. When the priest and the Levite passed the Samaritan laid in a ditch, they knew in their hearts they were supposed to stop and help him. They knew it was their duty, their very title, their very claim to their religion was to help that man, but they passed on by. How many situations, how many people have we passed by in our life and we knew we were supposed to do something about it, but we made excuses? "I'm busy, I can't do it, it's dirty, what will people think of me," blah, blah, blah. On and on the list goes to make an excuse so that we don't have to fill our obligation, that sin of omission. And it's easy to forget omission because nobody can see it. Nobody can point it out. But we know it. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin. When we've been educated in the Bible, when we've been educated in moral things, treatments, and we don't do them, we're just as guilty if we took a gun and shoot somebody. All sin is sin. Pastor Hodge, but sins of omission, they may not have as bad results, but it's still sin. And God said, all sin. Sin eats away at the soul. We continue in that sin of omission, making those excuses, and it eats at our soul, and it takes our conscience with it, till we finally believe that we did nothing wrong. We believe by that sin of omission, that failure to keep a commitment we promised. God, I'm going to start getting up and reading my Bible. Been 6 months and we still haven't. We go on and on and on. And after a while, we just say it's okay. And of course, we see the sins of commission, committing intentional sins that you know that are wrong. We make excuses for those. We do things we know that we should not do, but we finally get tired of confessing, and so we just say, that's the way I am. People have to accept me that way. I can't change. I'm not going to do it. And so we just commit intentional sins, and we know they're wrong. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We know that. We know those sins of commission. Acts 3:17. And now, brother, I wot that you, that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But we continue to do it. And we have sins of commission, sins of omission. And after a while, we're weighted down with the weight of that sin, and we become a person that we don't even know anymore. Because we've got sins ruling our life instead of the Spirit of God. The third area of our life, sin, is attitude. When I first went in the Army, they don't have it anymore. They had a list of things that you do wrong. They had one they called silent disobedience. Silent disobedience. You say, what was that? You were told by one of your superiors, and because you didn't like the looks of him, you give a disdained look. And you could be punished for that sin. Well, that's kind of the way the sins of attitude are. God knows those sins of attitude. False pride, unjust anger, just like a bulldog all the time, angry about this, angry about that, bitter envy, and malicious hatred. All those things we covered under attitudes. And again, we justify those by making excuses. That's the way I am. I'm not changing. I've tried. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. God, help me walk in your Spirit. Ephesians 4:31 tells us that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Excuse me. God says, get it away from you. Get that trash out. you walk into somebody's house and what's that odor? Somebody needs to dump a trash can. Well, we need to dump the trash cans of our life. There's a place here for dumping the trash can. Getting rid of that stuff that we know in our hearts is wrong. But we just refuse because of our weak soul and our weak body. We need to let the Spirit fight for us. And be assured that as sure as that rabbit gets caught in the cage, as sure as that bird gets caught in that cage, just be assured you will get caught in that cage. And one day you'll want out and you can't get out because you didn't want to walk in the Spirit. You want to be like I want to be. And I'm not having anybody tell me what to do or how to be. Verse 32 of Ephesians 4 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. You know how your heart gets tender? You know how it gets tender? Get broken. Get your heart broke. God knows how to break you down. God knows how to make you what he wants you to be. God knows how to crush those evil thoughts, those bad feelings, those wrong things. God knows how to crush them in your heart. Sure, it'll call you weeping. It'll cause you sorrow. It'll cause you a lot. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's amazing how we want God to forgive us. Oh, that's okay. God, forgive me. But what about you forgiving somebody else? Where's the grace in your life? Where's the mercy in your life to forgive others? He says in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride. There's that word again. Too proud to ask forgiveness. Too proud to admit we were wrong. There's been many songs written, but one line of one song I remember is the chief cause between husbands and wives is pride, unwillingness to say, I was wrong. I need you to forgive me. I did wrong. He says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Many of us, I'll probably get into that class sometime, we get our mouth going before our minds and really in gear, saying things without thinking, crushing people or hurting people. He says in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Letting God have his way in your life. Let him lead you step by step by the Spirit. Let others go before you. Let someone else be first. He tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil. If I want God to bless me, if I want God to make me what I ought to be, then if something looks like sin, stay away from it. If it looks like sin, tastes like sin, smells like sin, you say, well, I don't think it's wrong. If somebody else is going to fall and stumble, a guy asked me, he said, do you think my chewing snuff is going to send me to hell? I said, no, but it might help someone else get there. They see you doing something that is associated with evil. And don't tell me chewing snuff's not evil. Go to the doctor's offices. Go to the cancer wards. You'll find out. But that guy says, well, he's a Christian. And it may be your little son. Maybe a neighbor, a kinfolk. Abstain from all appearance of evil. He tells us that we are to walk as he gives us the Spirit to lead us to walk. But as we are allowed to, of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so speak we, not as pleasing men, but God with which our hearts. When Jesus went out and was tempted, the stones to be turned to bread, he could have turned them to bread. It would have been a good thing to do. He was hungry. But he didn't want to please Satan. There's places I can go and not sin. But people think I'm sinning by doing that or associating with that. And Jesus said no to Satan 3 times. No. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have any part of the devil's kingdom. I'm not going to do anything that associates with him. First time he was tempted to turn those stones to bread. Self-satisfaction. Self-satisfaction. But I just love to do it, Pastor. He took him up to that city, set him on a pinnacle, cast down off. Oh, the speed limit's only 55, but I can drive 80 to 90. Don't matter. Doesn't matter. If I'm, God will take care of me. I can run my tires another 1,000 miles. It doesn't matter. Tempting God. God will take care of me. God's not going to let anything happen to me. God will let you be as stupid as you want to be. God will let you drive a car and wreck and kill yourself, someone else. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to, and the Bible tells us we don't presume upon the grace of God. We don't give in to the grace of God. Just saying, okay, God will take care of that. We confess our sins, of course, but sinning before we thank you for forgiveness and just saying it's okay, it's not okay with God. So, Jesus was tempted. You say, but I didn't have a way of escape. The Bible says he made a way of escape in that 1 Corinthians 10:13. But such is common to man, but God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with a temptation also make a way of escape. I couldn't help it. You went to the wrong place. You said the wrong thing. You kept company with the wrong crowd. We can't run with the crowd. The Bible says, be ye separate. Be ye separate. Come from out from them, saith the Lord. We're not to run with the devil's crowd. We're to give them the gospel, but we're not to live that life. We're not to do those things. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Beware of sin. And we've mentioned all these areas. See that it's not in your forte. It's not in your life. Because you may find yourself like the bird or the rabbit. You can't get out. You're no longer free. You live and die with it. I think I shared it before. Man in his 40s, years ago, when I was pastoring another place, I was asked to go visit him. They just did surgery on his throat. And he had to breathe through his right here. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, they say the back has ate my throat up. And he reached over on the table, took a pack of cigarettes, packed it, took one out, took it on a toothpick, and sucked that cigarette. I said, how much longer does it take you to realize? We just say, you may not do that kind of stuff, but what sin is keeping you from loving, from doing the things you should do, from giving God your all, from walking in His Spirit, from being a kind-hearted person? What is it? What is it? God knows, and you know, and the devil knows, and his imp knows. The trash can is here. We can get rid of it this morning. Take it away. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we bow this morning, we think of the terrible deeds of sin, various kinds, that have attacked people, hurt people, broken up homes, killed people, ruined people's lives, ruined people's testimonies. Oh God, we pray that there be none here, that we get to the altar and get that sin out of our life and follow the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God. Our heads are bowed, the altar's open. Jason's going to play a song. That song's being played. As God strums out your heartstrings and says, you're wrong. You are wrong. Would you come? Coming this morning, for the joy, would you have our prayer dismissal? Don't forget to check the board, see if there's something you want to bring for the veterans meal. And be praying, inviting people. We still got flyers to pass out if you know someplace to put them. God bless you. Joy, we have our prayer.